What are the legal grounds for being charged with DUI in Arizona? I'm Gordon Thompson, and today is June 29th, 2016, and that is the subject of today's podcast, namely, what are the legal grounds for being charged with DUI in Arizona? DUI cases are perhaps a little bit different than some other types of charges, for example, embezzlement, because they are almost always begun with a warrantless arrest by a police officer on an individual who has just committed the possible offense or has done so very recently. In order to make a warrantless arrest, what an officer has to have is probable cause that a person has committed the offense. The Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, has defined probable cause as where the facts and circumstances within the officer's knowledge and of which they have reasonably trustworthy information are sufficient in themselves to warrant a belief by a man of reasonable caution that a crime has been committed. Well, that's the legal standard, and it's cited many a time, but in reality, what's at issue is the facts of the case. To have probable cause is a practical matter in a DUI case. The officer must use their training and knowledge to say that that's an indication that the person is impaired or above a legal limit or perhaps under the influence of some drugs. What an officer can use for that in from their training experience would start quite often from the driving, meaning that the officer has observed the driving and it's, in their opinion, indicative of somebody committing traffic offenses, making a wide turn. Or if it is at nighttime, they are driving and doing what's called NHTSA, Nighttime Driving Cues, National Traffic Highway Safety Administration traffic cues, such as wide turns, driving 10 miles an hour below the speed limit, or even that there's an accident. These are all factors that an officer could use to determine if there's probable cause. The second step, and again remembering that the witnesses that are providing the information, namely police officers, have been trained in the academy and have been trained during their work to look for these signs, would be the next thing would be things like physical observations, bloodshot, watery eyes, odor of speech, or odor of alcohol, speech, manual dexterity problems, inability to produce a license and registration when asked to do so. And then thirdly, a factor would be a field sobriety test once the officer has had the person exit the vehicle. What the police place great emphasis on is what's called the HGN test, which is the horizontal gaze nystagmus test, which if an officer has received training in how to do that, they can come to an opinion as to whether or not the person's alcohol level is above or below the legal limit of a 0.08, or that they appear to be under the influence of a central nervous system depressant, be it alcohol or some other drug. Other field sobriety tests that they have been trained, rightly or wrongly, and rely on are the walk and turn test and the one-leg stand test. And if the officers observe two or more indicators of what they consider to be a failure on the person's performance on the test, then that also could be used to justify an arrest and goes to more evidence on the probable cause. Additionally, such things as admissions by the person. If the person says that they've been drinking or they've taken drugs which cause impairment, that also could go into the equation to say whether or not there's probable cause. Other observations could be if it's not driving under the influence of alcohol, but rather drugs. Constricted eyes would be an indication of narcotic analgesics that could be causing impairment. And there's other indicators that would apply for other drugs. The person is legally not required to perform field sobriety tests. Having said that, the officer can certainly use those a person's refusal, as a basis of deciding whether to arrest somebody or not. Now, whether legally all this adds up to probable cause to justify the arrest in a particular case is always up to a judge. And quite often, a motion to suppress the evidence alleging that there was no probable cause can be made. And at that time, the police have to justify what factors they use to justify the arrest and why that constitutes probable cause. Motions are very easy to do. And if a judge agrees that in listening to what the officer claimed occurred, it does not constitute probable cause for the arrest, then the evidence is suppressed, which as a practical matter means the case is dismissed. Now, that is what happens with a DUI case. As I say, virtually all of them begin with a warrantless arrest. Now, occasionally, the case does not proceed once the person is arrested. Sometimes, for example, the police obtained a blood sample, which they want to test for the presence of drugs, and that takes time to be tested. And so the case, although it began with a warrantless arrest, is then dismissed, and so that the police have time to test it. If it comes back where there's a drug present, then the person gets charged at that point with the DUI. Similarly speaking, with a felony, sometimes what the police have to do is get the records that would indicate that the person was driving with two or more prior convictions within the past 7 years or had a license suspension. And so the case is initially charged, dismissed, and then if the police, or more accurately the prosecutor, comes up with the records, then the person gets charged at a later date. So that's the answer to today's question, namely what legal grounds are required in order to have somebody charged with DUI. If you have any questions about this, please give me a call anytime.